Here we go.
What is up? Welcome to the Joe and Doug Show. We're pumped to jump in and chat with you guys today. We hope you're having a good day. It's rainy here in Youngstown, if that doesn't surprise anybody. We've been journeying through all kinds of important discussions in the last 2 years. And at the risk of getting us completely throttled and banned from the internet, we've had interesting discussions on...
Let's use code words so it doesn't get throttled.
Yes, whether people can make decisions about certain things when it comes to their health and when it comes to protecting themselves, when it comes to risk assessment, whether or not they can decide to wear their seatbelt or not, or to wear a helmet or not, or when it comes to certain health things that are being now talked about as mandatory. And we even here in Youngstown right now, it's a hot button issue. Is President Tressel came out and said for the upcoming semester that they're not going to require students to wear masks. They're not going to mandate it. They're going to give them the choice. And apparently tomorrow there is a protest. There were the faculty and somebody else and, whoever's going to walk out. I don't know what they're going to do, but they're refusing unless masks are mandated.
Sure.
And there's been this tussle in our culture about how we make choices, who gets to make choices for us, why certain choices should be made by larger entities on the betterment of the community, why individuals shouldn't be allowed to make certain choices. And it really has bothered me, particularly as a parent. I should get to make decisions for my kids. I should get to decide what's best for them. And if you don't like it, tough cookies, they're my kid. And there's so many people out there like, well, we just know better than you, or the experts know better than you. And if you don't want to listen to them, you're stupid. And you're like, and people have said far worse things. And then you throw politics in the middle of that. So we're not even just talking about making a choice about your health, but we're also now talking about these decisions that happen that are politically charged, socially charged. They have all these extra layers to the onion, when in reality, it's like, well, I just want to make an individual decision. Like, well, you can't do that. Because if you make that decision, you're obviously a Democrat, or you're obviously a Republican. Or if you don't listen to the experts, you're obviously this. And people have, it's become so polarizing that we can't just make simple individual choices anymore. Every choice we make affects every other. I almost made a post today.
But you didn't.
I have wisely withheld this post several times. But I want to get to a place where I'm like, I'm just, the entities that are want people that disagree with certain philosophies to shut up and sit in the corner. And I want to get to a point, but for the most part, I don't care. Like, I'm like, oh, you do what you want to do. Like, if you want to do that stuff, that's fine, but don't project it on me. And the moment it starts getting projected on me, I'm like, all right, we're going to deal. We're going to, I want to be a nice guy. I want to, be involved in the community. I want to do some of this stuff. But as more and more stuff starts getting, hearing some of these people talk about, well, like, they're going to mandate, and you start thinking about, my brother, I won't say where he lives, but he does not live in a particularly red state. Had the Department of Health show up at his house, knock on the door, and ask who was vaccinated in the home. He kindly closed the door and said, get the heck out of here. What are we stepping into, Joe, where we can't make decisions for ourselves? We're not being trusted. It is overreach on the highest level. Like, shouldn't the citizens be trusted to make their own decisions?
So you and I both have withheld posting bunches of stuff. Oh, and I've gotten, like,
I have edited myself.
Paragraphs in and hit the delete key. So there's a lot of stuff that just never made itself to public consumption.
And probably for the best.
But okay, so my post, I use sort of like very obscure things when I want to mask it. Like, but today's was, okay, I'm a libertarian problem solver.
Right.
Right. So when someone says mandate to me, like, it makes things go off in my
head.
Even
if it's good, I don't want to do it.
That's right. That's right. On principle alone. Like, and that was
the case that it's the good thing to do, and I'll do it.
Yeah, and typically I'll do the fair thing,
right,
and I'll roll things back, and I'll find something that maybe I'm passionate about, and that, so I'm a germaphobe. So I wish everybody would wash their hands and not sneeze on me. I had a kid cough on me the other day, and it like made
probably one of mine.
Oh, I think it was. No, but if someone were to come up to me and when I'm in my germaphobe mind, and when I'm in full of fear, and they're like, "Hey, I can get them to stop coughing right now. If all you got to do is tell me it's a mandate," I might go along with it because of the emotion that would draw me into saying that deal, right? But if I'm rational and I'm like, I don't like being told what to do. I don't think anybody's really smarter than me. I like to make my own decisions. Like, that's my world, right? You start taking parts of it. Where's me left in that whole decision-making?
Yeah. And it's a crucial thing, because I think about the world that our kids are going to inherit. And as a parent, you know, I can remember having those conversations with my mom and dad, and it was because I said so, right? You have to do this, because I don't have time to explain to you that if you run out in the street with no shirt on and get hit by a car, like, I don't have time to explain to you why you need to wear a helmet with your bike, put your helmet on. You don't have a choice in the matter. I get that. My dad used to say growing up, it was his phrase, and I've used it a couple times with my kids, and I've caught myself going, I can't believe I just said that. But he would say all the time, guys, this is not a democracy. You don't get a vote. This is what you're doing. And 9 times out of 10, he was correct. Like, he was trying to save our lives and protect us. And he was doing what a dad does. And the real question is, though, you know, am I not, as an adult, responsible for myself?
You are.
And then you get into, though, when my irresponsible decisions cause harm to somebody else, i.e. drinking and driving, and you get into an accident and you kill somebody, you're held responsible for those irresponsible actions. We don't ban everything else and keep you in a bubble, right? You end up, when you make an irresponsible decision that causes harm or robs somebody else of their property, life, or you know, anything else, that's where the law gets to step in and say, you're not allowed to do that. Where we find ourselves today, though, is we have people wanting us to wear bike helmets when there's no data that the bike helmets help us. And, you know, but they're saying, well, it's just for your good. And if you don't like wearing the bike helmet, you're an idiot, and you're obviously a Trump supporter, and everything gets dumped on you. And I find myself in a spot where I am the compliant oldest child. I want to be the rule follower. I am yes, give me the marching orders and I will do it. But everything in me right now, and I'm not this person, Joe, wants to tell people where to go and be like, I'm not going to do that. I've stopped myself short a few times in the pulpit where I've wanted to make some declarations to the congregation about what we will or won't do come more lockdowns or more mask mandates or more whatever, because it's wise, and there may be a purpose for it in the future.
All right, so let's do the opposite of what we normally do. Let's not turn this into a conspiracy theory, right? We're going to undo. We're going to undo the conspiracy theory. So I'm going to post.
I'm wound question. Up on this. Can you tell?
I can tell. That's what we're going to fully field it out so that you feel better. I am here for you, my brother. So, okay, you got to ask the. I'm going to ask the question to you, and the goal is not to use conspiratorial language. Okay,
let's do it.
So if that. The stuff that you're doing and seeing and whatever is untrue, what would the reason be to make you wear a mask or to make you take a vaccine? What is in it for the people who are you telling, even from like the government officials to the state legislatures to even the people that live in your neighborhood? Why would I insist? What is the fear stemming from?
You don't want me to use conspiracy theory with that question?
No, yes.
That's loaded, bro.
But there's probably better, easier, more simple versions of it.
Well, and this is the whole thing, right? So if you have the best argument and you have the best data and you make the best case, people are smart. When the upticks in COVID came, people wore masks. They didn't have to be asked. Nobody had to stand and check. They realized that, hey, you know what? This is getting kind of serious.
Let me add to it. Maybe this, I'll lead you a little bit.
Okay.
Okay. So in the very beginning, right. Dr. Fauci was very afraid that if he said go wear a mask.
You just said his name. We're totally getting throttled.
Fauci. This is his brother. Cousin's brother. That's his. Anyway, so early on, he did not want the general public to go out and buy up all the PPE.
Correct.
And all of the nurses and doctors couldn't have the stuff.
Correct.
So he came and said, for the state of policy, don't wear masks because that made sense. He didn't say the truthful thing because he knew that there was a repercussion in saying the truthful thing. And that's where I ended, right?
Right.
Because, you know,
so essentially he told people, don't wear masks.
Yes.
You know, I don't know if he said they're not useful, they're not helpful, something along those lines. And then months later comes back and says, nope, everybody needs to wear masks. We're encouraging mask mandates. The CDC came out with the mask stuff.
Well, do you expect him that if he knew that doctors and nurses wouldn't have PPE to say the truth, would you expect, is that something you'd have expectations?
Absolutely. If he, this was the whole thing. It was one of the things I actually appreciated in some of the steps that Governor DeWine took here in Ohio. So Dr. Fauci could have come out and said, we don't know what we're up against. We're not sure all what's going to, but our nurses and doctors are on the front line of this. And so, well, masks may be beneficial for you to wear. We're asking you not to buy these up.
Do you remember at the same time there were no toilet paper on the shelves?
Yes.
Right? So 100%. Him making that request means that he could appeal to you.
Sure.
That does not mean that PP. I looked on Amazon on that day because I went on Facebook and said, hey, the government said don't wear the mask. You should wear the mask. Me, right? And I looked them up and I bought some at that exact moment.
Yeah. Well, I just think that when, so think about the way you and I function typically, right? You hear something like that. All right, hospitals are short on PPE. Like the good guys in all this are going to go, how do we help get our hospitals PPE? What can we do? We had people starting, they were collecting money and then going and dropping meals off at the hospital for nurses that were doing crazy. It's like, that's the whole thing. Like if you give people the information, the good people in the community are going to step up. They're going to do the right thing. But the problem is the more you withhold, the more you lie, the more you do that stuff, you lead yourself to a place where I don't trust you. And so then you cry wolf, you cry wolf, you cry wolf. And then the wolf shows up and you need us to listen to you. I said to my wife recently, I said, God forbid we actually have a variant of this virus that shows up in the next 2, 3, 5 years or whatever that is actually deadly, that is actually like wiping millions and millions and millions, like tens of millions, like Spanish flu type numbers. There's going to be a whole contingent of people that don't trust the government. They say this is really bad. They're not going to listen because they've been babied and they've been lied to and they've been led on and they've flip-flopped. You know, it's like the number one thing I tell new parents, consistency. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Because the moment a kid learns that you're not consistent, what do? They push on that boundary line. They're like, I'm not listening to that.
Because well, as a policymaker, when you reel this back and you know, okay, well, you're a policymaker and people are hanging on to your words. And if you say something that induces panic, and you might cause a problem bigger than what you had to say. So then, you know, you want to tell the truth, but you also don't want people's lives to get ended because of the words that rolled out of your mouth. So, okay, we had three things. Okay. So he didn't say the right thing because he didn't want to, you know, starve first responders from their stuff. The second one, you didn't want to overblow something and have people panic in the streets and kill and murder and pillage. Right. Sure. And then the last part is it might be a sort of like a deviation, but still along the same vein is now what today, we've lost people's ability to listen. So like really the only arrow in the quiver is get you afraid. I mean, that's really only thing. Like if he's like, you know what? Yeah, we probably made some, you know, bonehead calls along the way, but we need what? Like, what are you going to even appeal to at this point besides that?
Well, and that's the whole thing. I think the bureaucrat, like, so when I went to my doctor during this whole time and I went to, and some of the people that are in the medical profession in our church, I would ask them questions and sometimes they would look at me and say, you know what, Pastor, I just don't know. We don't have enough information. There's no studies out there on that. I know the government's making these big proclamations, but I have not seen any data to make me say X or Y. So at this point, I don't know. And they were very comfortable saying that. And honestly, I found that more reassuring because you're giving me the truth. You're not trying to stuff me with, when my wife and I got diagnosed with COVID, I text a doctor friend and I saw my doctor before we went on our trip. And our doctor gave us a Z-Pak and said, hey, if you get any symptoms, start with taking this. And, you know, you may want to consider bringing some vitamin D and some zinc. People have seen success with that. And I texted another doctor while I was there once we, you know, confirmed that we had it. And we loaded up on vitamin D and zinc and all that stuff because that's what they were saying. Hey, I don't know if this will work. But there was a doctor here and a doctor here that did this with their patients and none of their patients went to the emergency room. It's worth trying. It's not, you know, at this point you can buy it over the counter. It's not like he was sending us, and whether it helped us or not, I don't know. And there was no control group. There was no case study, but I'd rather have the honest information. And I hear what you're saying. You know, you go out and say, well, look, we need the PPE for the hospitals and all that stuff. Please don't buy it. Are there going to be some people that buy it? Absolutely. But I think there's also going to be some people that give it. I think there's also going to be some people, and I think the good will outweigh the bad. I mean, think of the people that rallied around the hospital workers anyway. And if you're just honest with the people saying, look, we don't know. So Governor DeWine did this with churches, and I so appreciated this. I was on multiple calls with the governor's office leading into the big surge in COVID. It meant Easter was canceled, like all of that. And he came on and he said, look, this is what we know. This is what we don't know. He's like, as your governor, I'm not going to close your churches, but I'm asking you, we don't know what this is going to do. Everything that we see when people gather together indoors and you know, sing like you do at church, it causes it to spread. And he was more articulate than that, but he asked us to join his team, gave us the information he had. And for me, I went, I'm a team player. We'll close down. That's fine. I called the chief of police in Boardman because we were going to hold an outdoor service for Easter. Cause I'm like, it's Easter. I want to do church. Everything in me was like, I want to do this. And, you know, it was already over the 15 days to flatten the curve and everything they asked us to do. I'm like, look, I played my part. But when I talked to the chief of police, he said it would be a huge help if you didn't do that, because it means less of my officers have to be out. Less of my officers could be at risk. Somebody gets into an accident or anything like that. It would just be better if you did it online. I said, no problem. I can do that to help the town out, help you guys out. I think people are much more apt to do that if they're given the information and told, hey, you know what? Here's what we know. Here's what we don't know. This is what we believe could be. And this is what we're asking people to do. We don't know if it's going to work, but if somebody came like that to me, like I'd wear a mask anywhere. But you start mandating stuff and you're not handing data.
You just cited two things. One, you had a local appeal, someone who was talking at you and gave you information. So, you know, I'm a reasonable person. I feel like I'm a reasonable person. You give me information and I'll make my own decisions and I'll try to do the right thing. I don't feel like what's being said on the national side is for me. Right. It's not packaged for me. I feel like it's maybe to subvert some kind of, you know, crisis that maybe someone's listening to that passage and it's effective, but it's not for me anymore. I will go back to the people that will trust that I trust that will give me the real thing. All, like I said, the mask thing in the very beginning where I knew why you were saying that, but that wasn't me. You just have to say, hey, don't buy because the nurses, and I would have listened.
Exactly.
To that. So that's why that volume got turned way down on the people that are trying to avoid crisis by using false information.
Right. And I just think people want an honest broker in government. Totally. And I think that was the struggle for some with President Trump. President Trump tended to, embellish, right? He's a New York real estate guy. So he tended certain things. He would make them bigger than they were. And that's what a lot of people are having difficulty with the current administration, is just give me the facts and give them to me straight. And I think the American people are intelligent and they're going to do what is best. And if you give them the right information, you ask them to join the team, they're patriotic. They want to do what's best for their community.
So, okay, we're at right now, totally polarized. It's not even really about the thing that we're talking about. It's more about the tribalism that goes along with it. So how the hell do you pull up from this one? I mean, how do you get reasonable people to be okay to go on Facebook and say, hey, you know what? Let's just make good decisions and take care of people.
It's political suicide, but the best thing that, and I don't care if it was President Trump reelected or President Biden currently, whoever's sitting in that seat, to come out and say to folks, listen, the last 18 months have been difficult. We've made a ton of mistakes. There have been things that we didn't see, things that we tried to do in your best interest, and call some of those things out and apologize and be able to say, we want to move forward and we want to do better with this. And so this is our plan moving forward. We want a better local presence. We want to do this. We really do think the vaccines work. And so we want to encourage you to do that. We really, here's the science for you. Here's what we're looking at. This is what's driving us to do that. But the reason nobody believes them is they hide all that stuff. And so it's like, just pull back. Transparency is the best thing for it. It's one of the things that I tell our board and team at church and our finance team. Like, I want to be the most transparent. I want people to feel comfortable when they donate to the church. They know that dollar is going to be maximized and that we're going to use it for what it's intended to be used a lot of people have mistrust of nonprofit organizations and that sort of stuff because there's no transparency. So just pull back the curtain and say, look, this was wrong. That was wrong. We messed this up. Like, it's political suicide. Nobody's going to do it.
Right.
But essentially, if you want to regain trust, right, if I botch something with my kids or my wife or my family, the best thing to do is like, I totally forgot to pay that bill. I'm so sorry. And then you fix it and you figure out how to move forward.
And you can't be that as a politician.
Right. Nobody's going to do that as a politician. You have to hold to your guns. And so it puts us in this spot where whoever's in charge, the other side disagrees. it does not matter what they say. There was just an article in the New York Times. Ben Shapiro was referring to it that was talking about the anti Fox News, anti Trump thing, whatever they say,
just do the opposite.
Just do the opposite. Right. Even if it was, if you were for it like 3 seconds ago, they said it and they're for it. So now we got to do the opposite of it. And you look at some of the political position stuff like that, and it's just like, it's so exhausting. And I just want an honest broker that's going to provide solutions. And I think that's what most people are hungry for.
You know
what
you just told me? Like, I told you, like, we could tell people that you're going to an iceberg and they wouldn't do it anyway. But that's what basically you just told me. I said, how do you pull up from this? And you said, well, no, politicians are in control right now and politicians won't do that. So you basically just told me we're going to hit the ground.
Yeah,
that's what you said.
100%. It's going to take someone to stand up and say, you know what? This is someone in the system is going to have to stand up and say.
Did you see Rand Paul, by the way?
I did, and it was
fantastic. Is that the standing up that you're talking about?
Exactly. He got throttled off of YouTube everywhere, and I shared it on Instagram, but I'm sure it's down by now. I'm surprised I didn't get throttled, but yeah, he's right. I mean, he's a medical doctor. I mean, that's like what he does, and he's been at this the whole time with different stuff. And the other thing that kind of bothers me in this is if it was really about medical stuff. Like, they would have been doing autopsies this whole time on everybody that was a COVID death to figure out exactly how this thing works and what it did. And they didn't do that, even from the beginning. Anybody who had COVID, even if they got in a car accident, was a COVID death. It was like, and so again, that puts people in a skeptical spot where they're frustrated. And so I think most people, when they're making decisions with big things like this, you know, they're looking for honesty. They want people that are going to give them the facts. They want people that are going to let them know, like, here's the landscape. This is what we think is best. We understand if you do this, we think that's going to harm the situation, but here's all the information. Go for it.
I think honesty just got a lot more valuable in our culture.
Huge.
And nobody had to like make it happen.
Yeah.
You made it happen by doing the opposite of that.
Absolutely.
So cool.
And that's why I think some of the governors and some of the even local leaders that have bipartisan support and are running 60 to 70% approval have looked at both sides of the aisle and went, here's what we're doing.
Well, if you ask somebody who's on the other side of this, they're going to say that everybody the other guy is saying is a total lie and total fabrication.
Yeah. But I think people judge the man or the woman by like when you meet somebody, you feel them out. Like the first time I saw President Trump give a speech, I went here in Youngstown when he was here, and I didn't get enough close up to shake his hand and that sort of deal. But being in that space, I knew his policies were good, but he still felt like a real
slimy
estate guy from New York.
Yeah,
right. Like, and so I get why people didn't like him. Like, that made sense to me. But in the same breath, like when you look at some of these others, like we butter over some stuff that I'm like, no, they're like, there's nothing honest about them. It's one of the reasons I love Gary Vee. Like, dude, cusses. I disagree with some of the stuff he says, but I know that everything that he's saying is authentic and it's honest. It's exactly how he feels and how he's seen things work. And so I can take that and I can run it through my filter because it's raw information. And I don't have to sit here and think he's just trying to get me to buy a product. He's just trying to, pull some, bull crap on this or whatever. But at the end of the day, am I going to buy, like, I bought two pairs of his shoes and stuff like that, because I'm like, I value the authenticity and the honesty that comes across, even though I may disagree and I may not like certain approaches and certain, language that I don't necessarily use. But at the end of the day, like, I value that honesty at a point where I'm like, yeah, I can excuse that and I can enjoy the content. And I think that's true across the board. Take it out of politics, right? Why do you read the blogs that you read or the books that you read or stuff like that? It's not just about inspiration, but it's about honesty. Like, this is authentic. It speaks to me. It's the number one thing I tell, I'm going to date myself here, but I tell young pastors, right? I'm in my mid 30s and we have some young pastors coming up and I'm like, the best thing you can be is you. Because if you get up there and you try and be like this preacher or that preacher, everybody's going to know. Like you just got to get up there and be you. Even if you isn't all that, you don't feel like it's all that exciting, it's authentic and you'll attract those people that like that. And if you try and be somebody else, it's over.
Yeah. And this opinion is coming from a master marketer that, you know, everything is marketing. Politics is marketing, right? Family's marketing, yep. You know, social is everything's marketing. Everything. And so the best way, if you waterfall and kind of reverse engineer some of this stuff, you try to find the end, like what when a person says something, right, what were they trying to do? So when I'm reading an article and I feel like I'm being sold an idea, exactly, rather than being instructed, like I can even write a scientific paper, yeah, and feel if this is science or this is advocacy.
Yep.
And it's in areas that you wouldn't expect advocacy, yeah, it truly is.
Yeah. Well, I think it's something like 14%. I saw this stat recently. 14% of people trust traditional marketing. 78% trust peer reviews. I mean, that says everything, yeah, you need, right, to know. If Joe comes to me and says, hey, I tried this product, it's awesome, you got to get this product, I'm literally opening Amazon as he's saying that and ordering it or getting it off of whatever website he got it from, because I trust Joe. I don't need to trust the product. I don't need a slick, I don't need to watch some video on it. I'm in because, well, that's my friend and he said it's a good thing. So I trust him. And I think, you know, the White House is trying to do that right now with, they've hired a bunch of TikTok influencers to tell people to get the vaccine.
I buy all of my things on recommendations on TikTok videos.
I literally like, I saw it and I saw some of the videos and I was like,
who makes a decision?
Like, no. Like, literally, if Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, as much as I disagree with them on policy and just darn near everything, if he came out and got at the lectern and was able to get through a few sentences and just said, yeah, did you catch that? If he was just able to say, look, Here's the facts. Here's where we're at. Can you just give us a chance with this stuff? We're trying to do our best. Here's where we're at. This is what we got going on. Can you be on Team America for a while?
All right. So anybody in that administration or anybody part of those health departments, is there anybody in there that you would trust that is in that administration? Like if they said something, you would give it a little bit more weight.
So I listen to everything that comes out. I try and read the CDC stuff. But
for you to have faith in what was coming out, not policy, truth.
Faith all comes down to the person.
Okay. Like, can you name anybody that you know that if they open up their mouth?
On the left side of the aisle?
Yeah.
I like Tulsi Gabbard a lot.
Okay.
I think there's one or two in the House and Senate that I think there's... Joe Manchin's stuck between a rock and a hard spot because he's in West Virginia, so he doesn't have much of a choice. You know, when they were debating, I out of all the people on the left, I liked Tulsi Gabbard and I liked Andrew Yang. Now, I disagree on a lot of the policy, but I felt like they were authentic. Like when Andrew Yang talked about universal basic income, I don't like that as a policy, but he genuinely, like there was no, he wasn't trying to won over anybody. Like he thought this through. He thinks it's a good idea. Maybe it could work. And at the end of the day, I was like, hey, he went on multiple conservative talk show. Like he wasn't only in his echo chamber. He went on the other side. He sat down with Shapiro for an hour on a Sunday special. I found it fascinating. I didn't agree with him on everything, but I was like, I wouldn't be disappointed if that guy became president. You know what I mean? Like, right, in that sense, you know, he's running for mayor.
And I'm wondering how many people, even if an Andrew Yang got right, became president, how much of the apparatus would allow him to be that honest version,
exactly,
versus having, like you said, this, yeah, political suicide happen because you decided to tell the truth.
It was the same thing with Tulsi Gabbard. Like I was like, you know, I had respect for, you know, her history and some of that sort of stuff. And even some of the policy stuff, I was like, I don't really like that, but I think she really believes it. And
all right. So let me give you my political feelings here, because this is something similar to what I would have posted online, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Okay. So I really have a lot of respect for the framers, right? They, yeah, really knew what they were doing. So absolutely, let's talk about our legal system and then I'll kind of like transition us into my point here. Okay. So a prosecutor's job is not to discover the truth, right? Okay. If it was, then a prosecutor would get, you know, through something, and you'd be like, oh, case is gone, I'm out of here, right? Mm-hmm. But truth comes between when you sandwich opposing the opposing sides, mm-hmm. and you squish it until everything that can come out comes out, right? That's truth is the product of that squishing. Okay. Like, I would like a prosecutor that if he stumbled on a truth that exonerated the people he was prosecuting.
Right, but his job is to win the case.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know, you take that analog and you find if you want to squish truth out of something, you can't take something as part of an apparatus and expect the prosecutor to be something that he's not supposed to be, right? And same thing with the defense side. That has very specific
job.
They're
not going to bring certain things up that's going to look bad for their client.
Exactly. So, you know, my feeling is that we don't need more unity. We need more balance. So like when a Rand Paul gets booted off of social media, all it's really doing is saying, you know what? We don't like what the defendant is saying, defending his clients. So we're going to shut him up and only let the prosecutor talk, because then you get a skewed sense of the product of that truth that comes out. So I don't expect anybody in that apparatus to have to tell the truth, because that would never happen in a million years.
That's good. So you're saying, regardless of how the left, the right, which politician, doesn't matter, they can say whatever they need to say as long as everybody gets to say what they
exactly.
say.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly.
And the truth will come out somewhere. And I say that to people often. You know, you look at Jesus in Scripture. He looked at those on the left and the right, said, you're both wrong. Here's the deal. And I find, you know, in America, most people look at both sides of the aisle and they're just exhausted by the whole thing. And you're saying, though, a healthy two sides making their case will squish the truth out.
Even if you don't like what they're saying, like it's not that you get to it.
I hope you're correct.
I hope so too. Right. But it doesn't look like that path where we're giving bigger voices and more volume and amplification on everybody being able to get it off of their chest.
Yeah.
You stifle and you mandate and you start, you know, hitting that, requirements, and then that goes away.
Yeah. And you're creating even more polarization, because people are like, I have to go over to Rumble and I got to go over to this site and I can't post on YouTube.
You pointed out earlier, that you'd start valuing the stuff that people were taking for granted. Mm-hmm. And then it does unify the people to start pushing towards those principles. And I think our answer's in those principles.
Mm. So when do we start pushing? Because I'm done with this. Let's push.
Let's talk about it, something that's a little less aggressive next time. I'll talk about like food or sports or something like that. Welcome to the Joe and Doug Sports Show. Oh, yeah. Right?
I think it needs to push. I think people get so tired of the pendulum swinging. All right, and we vote everybody in. It's blue wave and then a red wave and then a blue wave and then a red wave. And it's just like, can't we just have an American wave? Like, can't we just figure this out? I don't know. I'm just exhausted by the polarization. It's just annoying at this point. And I'm like, just give me the information and I will make the best decision for my family.
Feel like the distribution of information has been, I know it's been disrupted with those cancellations, but if you really wanted it, could you get to it and could you find it?
You had to work for it.
Okay. So that's your push on, right?
Yeah.
So same thing. Like I look at all of the things that I care about. So I look into the true data behind COVID. I can't use Google to find things on. So I use something like DuckDuckGo or something that is unfiltered and you know, I can VPN and, you know, take those filters away. But to be able to go ahead and do a search tonight. I tell everybody, go do a search for something on Google and do a search for something on DuckDuckGo and compare what comes up.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. It's all about who pays for what and what's, you know, the algorithms and everything else. And I really hope, particularly on the online sense, this is something that I think makes weird bedfellows. when I hear people like Bill Maher, who tends to be a classical liberal, would not like an evangelical like myself. But when we're both saying the same thing about people getting canceled and free speech and all this stuff being absolutely bonkers, you know, I think it's going to make 60-70% of the country go, this is nuts. Like, we need to hear voices, even the crazy ones that we look at and go, that's crazy. They deserve to speak, even though I think they're crazy on both sides of the aisle.
For sure.
Like, even when
speaking my language,
even when
brother.
It's back crap, like, you're like, no,
we're not. That's the squishing. Right. Like, the crazier they are, the more that they invalidate themselves. You let them invalidate themselves.
Right. And so it's like when I was in Bible school, I can remember them bringing out these big theological concepts, and you would have people across the spectrum. And in class, you're able to ask these questions, and you're able to dialogue, and you're able to debate, and you're dealing with these issues that people have been dealing with for thousands of years and nobody knows the answer to. And I loved our professors because they would get to the end and just be like, I don't know.
Right, right.
And you just meant,
there
you
is know. No answer. That is the depth of the conversation.
And,
is that
and
we
the
have...
whole thing is in the wrestling is where the
exactly. The I think we nailed something in this. And in fact, is good. And it's not about finding, you know, reasonable people who takes up your case, because there's always going to be someone on the other side of the conversation that's not happy with what you decided. And it's got to be that way.
I do think most people are patriotic Americans. They love this country, want the best for this country. I think the media has done their darndest to separate and divide. I think politicians are doing whatever they have to do to get reelected. I don't buy the loyalty anywhere, because they'll vote for whatever's going to get them back into office. And I think most people are just tired of the charade and they just want an honest broker. They want someone that loves the country, that's going to step in and do what's right.
Yeah. And so the appeal is that if you want to start pushing on that, maybe the information that gets distributed, you have to fight for a little bit and you have to work a little harder, put another 10 minutes in your day to be able to get to the stuff. And I'm not saying get to the stuff that you want to hear, find a place that will just give you stuff that you don't and want to hear and don't want to hear, and then patronize them and reward them for giving it to you that way.
It's the healthiest thing. People ask me all the time, you know, I have a copy of the Quran on my bookshelf. I have other copies and people are always like, you're a pastor. Like, how can you have that on your bookshelf? And I'm like, well, here's the thing. Like, I want to read that, not because I necessarily see it the same as the Bible, not because I think it has the same value as the Bible, but I want to know how other people think.
Somebody else read that.
And somebody else values that. Like, I value this. And if I want to get a glimpse into them, like, I can't just live in this box. Like, I have authors on my bookshelf in my office that some people are like, well, they're heretics, and they might be, but I want to allow myself the exposure to information, to be able to bring it in, to filter it for, you know, the God in me to navigate that, you know, Holy Spirit to come through and figure out, like, all right, where do I land on this? And I'm okay that I get a little push this way and a little push that way. Like, if I have all the answers, I say this in church all the time, like, if I ever get up and I'm like, guys, I have landed on all the answers, like, run, like, you're in a cult. Right. Like, God should be a little bit bigger. And I think that's what we want in politics. Like, I don't need people to solve everything. Like, I just need an honest broker going, guys, this is a huge problem. I don't know how we're going to solve it. But if we come together and we experiment a little bit and we put the right people in the right places, if you guys will get on board, I can lead us to the right place. I buy into that every day of the week, because you're not trying to sell me a bill of goods. You're not trying to be my savior.
And you know what? What you just said is the majority out there.
Right.
And that's the problem
with most
people. You appeal to the majority to act and behave that way versus appealing to the worst in people that are fearful of everything. And it's the same people. We just got to be able to bring that out of the majority of them.
Yeah. And fear, you never make a good decision when you're afraid.
Right.
You just don't. You know, you have to work yourself through the fear and then make a healthy decision. And sometimes it's going to take a great deal of courage, but making that decision while you're afraid, you're going to.
Can I tell you something I felt guilty about? So on that day where Fauci came out and he said, don't buy masks, and I bought N95 masks, right? And then I felt guilty about it. So then I went to the hospital and I said, hey, I've got a box of N95 masks. And I never wore any of them, by the way. Yeah. And I said, can I donate them to you? I did. So that was me unloading that. They said they didn't want it. But so I still have the M95 mask, but that was me doing
it.
So
if another outbreak happens, we know where to get
the
N95
mask. And I bought
mask.
Mercury tablets, and I fall way off the deep end.
But it was wild. Like, I remember in those early days where they were like, lockdowns are coming, and, you know, there were all the things going around the internet with, you know, people were like, you know, the National Guard's coming in, you're not gonna be able to leave your house and stuff. And, and some of it was crazy, right? But some of it happened. And I think that people just deserve all the information, crazy and all. That's a bottom line. And I think we can make the best decisions when we have all the information, not when we're being babied. And I hate being babied. And so I'm done being babied.
Did you get that off your chest? You look like you feel better.
I do. I feel
about
lighter.
Saying that, because this is your stage when it comes to when it's bothering you.
Yeah.
And
heck yeah.
You want to just do free flow on it. And I'm here for you.
It's good. Well, we hope you don't cancel us. We hope YouTube doesn't throttle this. We hope Facebook doesn't take this down. We hope you enjoyed this conversation about making choices and our government. We love America and we love you. We'll see you back here on TV.
Thank you for listening to this show on Youngstown Studio. If you like our programming, we invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow our Facebook page, or subscribe to your favorite podcast platform like iTunes or Spotify. This is original Youngstown content, and we would appreciate you sharing the videos and the word about us. Thank you.